a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Word of God. It seems like just yesterday that we were longing for light, that even as the nights grew darker and longer and our Advent wreath grew brighter every week, when heaven and earth brought it all together at Christmas, the light broke through the darkness and we were in light. And I don't know about you, but in the past few weeks of this new year, I feel like I've been plunged back into the darkness. And I know that's on people's minds a lot. I struggle to maintain some balance and sanity as I veer wildly from sadness to despair to hope to faith and back, sometimes all in a few minutes. It's a lot. And we need to be gentle with ourselves and with each other. Because I think in these times we're not always at our best. I believe, though, that we are being offered a blessing in these chaotic times in our country and in our world. A blessing, a gift, an opportunity to love and to act out of a place of mercy and justice. And this may seem absurd to be talking about gifts and blessings when we're facing such difficulties, the likes of which we've not seen before. Absurd. And that's how the Beatitudes are sometimes received when they're heard. How can mourning or persecution be a blessing? Meekness? Aren't we supposed to be strong and aim to be successful, especially in the ways that the world defines success? Poor in spirit? What does that even mean? Jesus, not for the first time, surprises us in his words. He presents to us a counterintuitive nature of the kingdom of God, where true blessedness and happiness are not found in power or wealth, but in humility, mercy, justice, and dependence on God. Kingdom values are extremely different from earthly ones. Blessing can be found in unexpected, often difficult circumstances. Jesus turns our understanding of blessing and true happiness upside down. Poor in spirit, by the way, refers to a humble and sometimes broken state of recognizing our need for divine grace and mercy. Poor in spirit marks the beginning of a life surrendered to God. It has nothing to do with material poverty. So, and Brian, I'm so glad for the book that you're going to be studying on hope. Where do we find hope when all around us might seem increasingly hopeless? Good question. Sometimes I go to the words of the psalmist from Psalm 139. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God's perspective is different from ours. There are a lot of people asking, how could a loving God allow what is happening? I'm just not sure how to possibly answer that question. Except the loving God part is something I cling to. And if I can trust this, along with an understanding that maybe God's perspective is more full of love and light and hope than I can imagine, then I can find some peace, even if for a few minutes. I also try to lean into the question, what can I do? Micah tells us that we are to act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with God in all that we do. And sometimes it's the tiniest thing, a kindness that we show to a stranger or to someone we don't really like. You know, I also hear, as I'm looking at all of this, I hear Jesus' words about loving our enemies. And what does that, how do we do that? I have myself, the only way I can find to do that is to lift them up in prayer. And not in a way that I'm going to tell God what's wrong with them so they can fix them, though that's tempting, and sometimes I do it anyway. But in my best prayers, I just ask God to bring healing, wherever that is needed, because we all have wounds, and we act out of our wounds sometimes. In Sauk Prairie at our UCC church, we are doing something that we started during Advent, and we're going to continue in the new year once a month. But after the first tragic death of Renee Good, I decided we need to do this every week, because I think peacemaking, wherever we stand, peacemaking is going to take sacrifice now. And not that this is a big sacrifice, but I decided we are going to do this every week. And so every Tuesday, and I want to say you are all invited, every Tuesday from 6:30 to 7, we are opening up our church to the community for prayer, for quiet prayer. And it's very simple, quiet light, quiet music, a little breath prayer, meditative time, and then a blessing to send us on our way. You are welcome to come, and even more so, I planted the seed in Brad to start something like that here for your community. I know prayer isn't the only answer to what's happening, But for some people who are just throwing their hands up and saying, I don't know what to do, it might be just the thing. Or for others who are taking actions, it's another place to come and bring whatever is in their heart and on their mind, their worries, their fears, their anger, whatever, and give that to God. So day by day and hour by hour, minute by minute, I ask, what is the next just, loving, kind thing I can do? What or who is right in front of me that I can help? What are the words I'm called to speak or the action I'm called to take? Where do I need to give mercy and grace? And each day in my prayer, I think it's worthwhile to revisit and to ponder the Beatitudes. Because in these hard times, God is offering us blessing by living as Beatitude people who recognize our dependence on God, who comfort those who are mourning any kind of personal or collective loss, who find strength in meekness rather than arrogance or pride, who hunger for justice and work for peace, who show mercy, and yes, who might be persecuted or even killed for living this way. This is an enormous invitation from God, a sacred invitation, a blessing to be received and lived. And I would like to close with a poem from one of my favorite poets, Jan Richardson. Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and grief. Blessed are you in whom the light lives, in whom the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar where in the deepest night can be seen the fire that shines forth in you, in unaccountable faith, in stubborn hope, in love that illumines every broken thing it finds.